Good morning again. For those of us who are joining us online this morning, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at Seven Oaks. And it's my pleasure this morning to introduce our guest speaker. This is a mission Sunday for us here at Seven Oaks, which is why it was particularly delightful a little earlier before the service started to bring up a couple of our friends and introduce them to you. Now I have the pleasure to introduce two more of our friends. Dave and Patty Enns are international workers with the Christian and Missionary Alliance and have been, I think it's fair to say, both international workers and members of Seven Oaks for a very long time. They joined Seven Oaks as their home church way back in 1999. Their career in the field started throughout the 1990s. They served with the CNMA in France. And then for the last 21 years, they have been serving in Cambodia. Since around 2010, I think, their work there has involved leadership in a student residence and discipling center, where they continue to work to this day. They've been home for a few months this summer doing an awful lot of traveling around. I think the traveling they've done inside Canada is about three times as long as their flight here from Cambodia. But they actually are going to be returning to the field next week, so we're very privileged to have a chance to have them come and join us. I mentioned that they had been long-serving missionaries. Dave in particular tells me that he first went out on the mission field in Cambodia at the age of three, which is a pretty impressive start for a career. And to bookend that, they were recently at a retreat for missionaries on home assignment, and Dave won an award for being the oldest serving missionary in the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada. Now this, talk of being old doesn't seem to suit this couple very well. They don't seem particularly old to me. In fact, Dave quite accurately is fond of saying that Patty still fits into her wedding dress, and Dave still fits into his wedding ring. I think Patty's going to tell us a little bit about their work in the field, and then Dave is going to be opening up God's Word with us as we continue our series in the Psalms, and so I'm happy to hand over the mic.
Thank you, Pastor. Oh, I almost go over there. But yes, good morning. Oh, the light's really shining. I can't see anyone. But I'm so grateful to be here. Yeah, we've been here for so long, but all of you might know us, and some may be new, but I'm just saying I'm not hiding the age. I'm 55 years old, still fit in my wedding dress. I'm so grateful today that we can share a little bit. Some of you, I never really share about my family, never have a picture, kind of, and a lot of people kind of asking, like, can you have some slides of your children? And some of you pray for us when we move to France. My first son, only 2 years old, and now he's 33 years old. So I have some slides to show you and grateful that you pray for them. There we go. On this side, Jesse, our oldest son, he's 33 and married to Meg and have two kids. Theo, four, and Eleanor, we just met her, she's one. Turning one. In the middle, our daughter Stephanie live in Phoenix with her husband Tyler. They have three children, and the oldest one, Cody, on the right side, and Charlie in the middle, and the last one, 3 years old, Nash. So they got 9, 7, and 3, and they're doing great. And the youngest one, 24, she's still single, but I said, Mel, do you have anyone that you're dating or anything like that? She said, no, Mom. But if you're happy here, I have a grandson for you, Oliver. She have a cat. Her cat is my grandson. So she's happy. She live in Toronto also. So the oldest and the youngest live in Toronto, and the middle one in Phoenix, U.S. But I'm so grateful that they all follow the Lord and love the Lord, and because of you, prayer. Mm-hmm. And some of the other lady that I saw, that they've been praying for my family for so long. I'm so thankful. And also thank you for John and Janice that welcome us to their home. Let us stay in their suite and allowed us to drive their fancy truck. Because Pastor Tim, like, who is that truck? And when we get out, oh, just a missionary. Anyway, so we thank you. And thank you for some of you that take us out and pray for us and care for us. And our job, yes, I'm old, but I like to work with young people. I used to not really like to work with young people. I'm afraid of young people because it's hard. But then the Lord kind of put it in my heart, go ahead, it's okay, try it. So then I try and I just love it. On this side, our dorm, we have a dorm and we have like 12 to 15 students. That live together, the bottom floor, boys, the bottom and the second, and the third and the fourth floor, it's girls. So we have all the students, and when we done study, they just, you know, cook some rice and some vegetable, and it's just so funny how it's not even a fancy food, but they're just so happy to be together, to study together the Lord's Word and also at university. And lately, we welcome also a non-Christian young people if they are poor and they need a place to stay. So this day, we have four girls just joined this year and aren't belief, aren't a follower or anything, but they agreed to study with us. So if you remember, there's four young students at the dorm. If you remember, please pray for them. And on my left, I also work with our church. It's a KEC. It's a Lion Mother's Church, I guess, the biggest in the city in Phnom Penh. And all those ladies, it's all leaders. And one of the elder lady who sit on a chair, she have arthritis. And she's serving the Lord for so long, maybe more than 50 years. She is the pastor's wife at the Thum Lop Tuk Church. And all the lady on the floor, it's the elder or leader at our church. And before I come back to Canada, they said, oh, teacher, can we come to your house and have supper together? So I said, okay. And we come and we cook and everything. And they said, okay, let's sit outside. I do have table at my place, you know, and chair. But they just love sit on the floor. So they all bring the mat and sweep the floor and put the mat down. And do you see like two fish, one chicken, and a bucket of rice like Jesus, two fish and a loaf of bread. It's the same. And they're just so happy to serve the Lord there. And I'm so grateful that I'd be able to serve with them, to make Jesus' name fame, and to bring the hope to the hopeless place. So I'm really grateful. And our church, we kind of in a traditional kind of style, like young people, the children sing first. And a lot of children. I remember when we first moved, the children that have these children, that's the age. That's how I'm old. So this is their children, and they Sunday school, they go up and sing and praise the Lord. It's just amazing to see them to bring their little kids back to the Lord. Mm. I think, on this side, there, this is only three. I said four girls. When I took this picture before we came, and I look on my phone, I said, oh, all the yellow thing, and I look, it's all stickers. She's not believing in Jesus yet, but how much she's hungry for the words. She put the stickers so that she remember when I asked the question, she just opened her Bible so fast and answered. I didn't give her prize or anything, but she loved to study the words. So if you remember, please pray for them.
Four girls.
Yeah, four girls. But the middle one, they're all smart, but the middle one, somehow she's not smarter. Put the sticker so she can flip so fast. So there's four girls there, 18 and up. And also our church, sometimes we have a seminar for women's, only all leaders here, different villages that come to the city. And we have seminar together to reach out, to bring the hope to the hopeless at the village and to share the good news with the people who haven't heard about Jesus yet. So if you remember, for all these ladies, they travel far, some maybe 5 hours by bus or by their old car or their friend's car. But they travel far, far, and to come to learn the words to bring it back to their home city. Mm-hmm. So if you remember them, pray for them, please.
One last slide.
And the last one, yeah. This is our church, like every Sunday we meet. And our pastor, this is the pastor at Thum Lop Tuk Church. that his wife was had sick with arthritis. His name is Gosal, like Saul. And he is 70 years old, and he have high blood pressure and sick a lot as he get older. And you know, also some depression sometime. I don't know if some pastor never have depression. I don't know if you know one. Tell me. But so remember him and pray for him, please. That God give him strength and wisdom, continue to serve to the end. Yes. I think that's it. But before I finish my thing, I have a scripture to share with you, because my heart is to bring hope to the hopeless. And I just love to work with people. I used to do one-on-one like Carmen did in the beginning, but now for many years, they keep pushing me to the group. Now I'm not afraid, because God said, fear not. No. the scripture is Isaiah 40, verse 31, that say, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want to bring those hope to the hopeless in Cambodia. I want my student and my ladies, or the ladies, children of the Lord, to have this strength to continue, never grow weary and faint. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, hon. Good job. Oh, my. Talking about age, I can't hardly see anything anymore. Well, Patty and I are grateful that we're able to bring a report to Seven Oaks here. It has been our home church for all these many years, and we have made lots of friends. And there, like Patty said, there are new people here, and we're happy to see that. Please feel welcome. This is a great church. And even those of you online, glad that you could make it here. We would have been here, Patty and I would have been here last year, but travel was very difficult, as you can imagine. And leaving Cambodia, we would have had a really hard time getting back in last year. And then we also heard that if we came back to Canada, and especially to Toronto, to see our grandchildren, because of my enormous age, I would not be allowed to touch them. They would be behind glass, and I would look at them through the glass like I do with my phone. So I thought, I'm not coming back to that. Thank God that's all changed. It's been hectic. This home assignment has been extremely hectic. We've flown on 17 planes, and we've slept in 14 beds, as far south as Phoenix, Arizona, as far north as Terrace, BC, as far east as Niagara Falls, and as far west as Comox on the island. God was gracious, and none of our flights were canceled or delayed, and our baggage always arrived. Now, that is big. Let's give applause, really. I don't think we've done this much traveling on one home assignment since we've started our career in 1990. So it's appropriate that I talk to you about a traveling psalm. Now, Psalm 121 is a psalm that is called a psalm of ascent. It could be ascent as if the Jewish people were going to Jerusalem, where they would go to the temple very often. And it's not that long, so I thought maybe we would read it together. I'll read a verse, and then you'll read a verse. There's only 8 verses, so let's see. There we go, that's my line. Okay. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. This is a great song that David wrote, and perhaps you seem to notice that in the beginning there starts off in first person, and then it switches to second person. It's as if David is sort of talking to himself as he's walking along, and he's wallowing in the goodness of God. In Cambodia, where Patty and I have been serving for 22 years, there are a lot of hills, and on so many of the hills, you will see a pagoda like these here, all right? And this one here, and this one here, and here, and there. So, is there one more? No? Yeah? A lot of religions use a mountain and put their place of worship on the top of the mountain so that they can be closer to God. David rejoices in knowing the Creator, the one who makes mountains. In Jeremiah 3, verse 23, this touches on sort of the same idea. It says, Surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now, last week, Patty and I were in Mission Alliance Church, and during the summer, they've moved their service outside into their backyard or into their back property. They have a beautiful grove of trees back there and sort of a natural amphitheater, and it makes great for worship. And when I was there, I kept thinking of the song, How Great Thou Art. The song really reminds me, because like in Psalm 19, David says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. What a privilege. What a privilege that we know the Creator and we can trust Him. Now, all of us need a little bit of help from time to time, and it's comforting to know that the Creator God is always available to assist us. Now, maybe you're wondering if God is always available to help you, or if He has office hours. Now, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And what if you say, there's so much that I don't understand, I feel ignorant and I feel afraid? Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord God who takes you by the right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Perhaps you feel stuck in the days of the COVID restrictions and you didn't like what happened to you. They did things to you. They made you do things that you weren't really okay with. And Hebrews 13 says, so I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Indeed, what can man do to those who are under the watchful eye of our loving Creator? God is omnipresent and omnipotent, way overqualified to help you and me. And we have protection from our Creator as well. And the slide for verse 3 to 6 will come up, and you can see that He will not let your foot slip. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear foot slip. You know, maybe it's that yellow triangle that they put up in McDonald's after they've washed the floor. Maybe it's somebody tripping over something, or that comic slip on the banana peel shtick that used to be on the cartoons all the time. For me, I think of goats. Look at those guys. I could have chosen from a whole bunch of pictures of goats on things like that. It's always fascinated me how they can hop around on what appears to be sheer rock. The one who created the goat made you and me and will protect you from slipping as well. If you keep your eyes focused on God, we can count on him. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Verse 3 of our text also speaks of God's awareness of our situation at all time. We read that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. In my mind, those words are kind of synonymous, slumber and sleep. I don't use the word slumber very often, probably like you. But I think David is using two words to emphasize the very fact that he doesn't even get a little bit tired. He doesn't doze off. He's not distracted. He's vigilant, constantly awake. I'm reminded that of the story back in Elijah, of Elijah going on the hill. And he's on the hill with all the prophets of Baal. And those guys are supposed to get fire to come down from the sky. And they can't do it. And they're dancing around and they're jumping and they're cutting themselves. And nothing's working. Nothing's working. So what does Elijah do? Elijah mocks them. I think I would be friends with Elijah. Pray louder, he says. Baal must be a god. Maybe he's daydreaming. Maybe he's using the toilet. Or he's traveling somewhere. Maybe he's asleep and you have to wake him. Our God does not need to have his attention jogged. He does not need to be reminded of us. He's always there. Nothing is news to our God. Nothing is news. He keeps us safe in his hands. Now, once when Patty and I were driving in France, we were nearly forced off the road by a big truck, by a big rig. As the road went over a crest, there was a police car, a police van, that had blocked the road to help a stranded motorist. But this big rig had to move out of its way and came along right as we crested the hill. I was trying to pass him, and he started to move over. He couldn't stop. It was just a situation where we were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it got closer and closer until my right mirror was rubbing on his wheel, making a squealy noise, and my left mirror was ticking off on the fence, on the barrier there. And I got hard on the binders, and we squeaked out the back without just two small scratches. Now, here's the cool part. On my radio, we had a tape, a cassette tape. Oh, my goodness, how old am I? We had a cassette tape in there, and the cassette tape was playing a song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow, and I Know He Watches Me." Am I right? Nothing is news. He's always there. He's always protecting. He cares. Chapter 5, verse 18 says, We are sure that God's children do not keep sinning. God's own Son protects them, and the devil cannot harm them. Now, maybe that doesn't carry so much weight with you. It carries a ton of weight in Cambodia. In Cambodia, they have many, many spirits that they're afraid of, and they have to appease every day. Every day there's something that they have to do. But to the Christian who gets a hold of this verse, I tell them, look what it says. The devil cannot touch you. That's a great verse to give to them. Here's a cool quote from A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer was one of the great theologians for the Christian Missionary Alliance. He was 44 years a pastor. The quote goes like this. I'm not afraid of the devil. He can't handle the one to whom I'm joined. Now, you want to be joined so close that you can say that. That's your protection there. Be joined. I mean, really, otherwise, you're toast. I want to say a little something about the sun and the moon that we read about in the text, too. It says that the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So the sun striking you, we call that sunstroke. I know what that's like. But I was wondering, what in the world has the moon got to do with this? Then I was thinking, well, moonstruck is a term that we use. And then I looked, and lunacy and lunatic have something to do with the loon, which is not on the dollar, but loon as in French, la lune, the moon. If you ask people who work for the police, they will say, yes, when there's a full moon, there's a lot more crime than normal. So I don't know. There may be something there. There may be something that the moon can do to me. There may be something that the sun can do to me. But according to our text, neither of them can do that to me, can do that to us. God will protect us. The sun will not strike us, nor the moon. So we want to talk about surveillance from the Creator. The surveillance from the Creator. And we have the last two verses that talk about that. Now, when I looked at this verse in several different translations, I was impressed with the verses from the English Standard Version. In the English Standard Version, and I didn't put it on my slide, this came too late, but there's the idea of keep appears over and over in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5, in verse 7, in verse 8. Keep, keep, keep. I love the idea that we are kept by our Creator. He keeps us. It speaks to me that God is actively overseeing my life. It is ongoing. He definitely has a plan for me. He definitely has a plan for Patty. He has a plan for each of you. It's a good plan. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you have this plaque on your wall. We have it on a big banner at our door. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not of calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Our God is constantly aware of our situation, and He has a positive outcome in mind for each of us. When I was looking for insights on the idea of keeping, I came across a study from a pastor in Ontario, and he said that he had many Christians who would call him, and that they would say, "I've got some worries about scripture that talks about God's judgment." And the pastor would ask them, "Why? Why do you have these concerns?" And they said, "Because we're afraid. I'm afraid." And it seems like what's happened is people have faith and put their trust in Jesus to become saved. But then they really feel that there's something that they have to do to maintain that, to keep that status of saved. In Cambodia, we come from a works-based salvation system. It's about what you do in life. You do a lot of good things, they counterbalance all the bad things. Hopefully, at the end, you come there and it's like the good wins. Okay, you can proceed onward. But in Cambodia, they have a saying that says, I'll say it in Cambodian, and then I'll translate. You can make a boatload of merit, but one sin will sink your boat. They say this. They know this phrase. So when I'm witnessing to them, I bring this phrase up. They're thinking, oh, I've done all kinds of good things. Then I say, yeah, a whole boatload, I bet. And then I say their own saying. We don't have to do that because God has done it for us. Jesus did it all. There's something in the book of Jude called the Jude Doxology. And in Jude 1, verse 24 and 25, it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of God blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now and forever. If you feel like it is somehow up to you to be kept, I trust that you will remember that there's nothing that we can do to do that. God has done so much more for us. Now, I suppose you've seen home security systems like Paladin or ADT. Now, these are supposed to be systems that keep watch on your stuff. Maybe you just have the signs and you stick them in your lawn because that works pretty good too. You don't have to say who you are. No, it's an effective way to do that, but I mean, you may also count on the Creator to keep an eye on your stuff. We have no idea how many angels have been deployed to protect us. Sometimes it just seems really strange in Cambodia when I arrive at a Bible study or something and I think, how many people tried to die on the front of my motorcycle on the way there? And I just want to get together with those guardian angels someday in heaven, you know, and sit around and just talk. Maybe there's a slow motion replay video or something that we can watch and have a good laugh about. But God is aware of our situation and he's keeping us coming and going, the scripture says. Coming and going, another technique that they used in David's time when he would write, when you would say coming and going, you would talk about two extremes. It meant that and everything in between. So coming and going and everything that's in between. Now this could mean on the journey to Jerusalem for the pilgrim, or it could be on the way home. It could mean that God watches out as we head out to work and when we come back from work. God knows everything about our lifespan, and God has predestined to care for us. And even when we've breathed our last, still, God watches over us and will welcome us to the place that has been prepared for us in heaven. His surveillance over us is not dependent on us being alive. The psalmist makes it clear, he says, now and forevermore. Now meaning now, forevermore doesn't mean until you stop breathing. Forevermore. Always. No end. Jesus said much the same way when he finishes off the Great Commission and he says, surely, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So like in Pilgrim's Progress, we are all on a journey. We're on a journey to God. And Psalm 121 is a wonderful song for this voyage. The Creator watches over us, every aspect of our life, and he protects us from harm. There are no accidents to those who belong to God. That means we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid about anything. Nothing can happen to us without God's knowledge. Nothing can harm us under his protective care. Even the worst thing that may happen to us sickness, loss or even death, all of these things take place under God's providential care. God is for us and not against us, and he is committed to our good, and we can trust him in all things. So we can take comfort in this, and we can learn to trust in God in all things and to look for the good in all circumstances. The Creator cares for us. He will provide for us. He's there to assist us. My help comes from the Lord. Will you pray with me? My Father, thank you for this opportunity to praise you, to brag on you, to say how well you do the things you do. You are a great God. You are a loving God. You are a generous God. And we love you. And help us to put ourselves in your hand. That's the most safe place, in your hand. Help us to do that. Help us to look for the good things. Help us to wallow in your creation. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.